This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we are. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation 105.3, The Fan. Cowboys have been busy. Got another one done. We'll have that and more coming up in 20 minutes here, the C-Note. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
Yeah, so it's a $6 million base for Dante Fowler Jr. coming back to the Dallas Cowboys. Can go up to $8 million with incentives per our buddy Todd Archer. Todd also reporting earlier this morning, Cowboys officially released recently retired Zach Martin with a June 1st designation, which was expected after last year's restructure. He's now going to count roughly $9 million against the cap this year and $17 million against the cap next year. So that is the downside to flipping the switches, trying to create some more, you know, restructuring in cap space. Now you're not going to have Martin on your squad this year, next year, and you're paying him $9 million and $17 million. But I guess, you know, you account for that with your finances. You account for that. And then the cap keeps rising. I mean, it's pretty amazing because the team that seems like, how in the world could they continue to sign people are the New Orleans Saints. Like, the Saints have no cap space. Yet they go ahead and they flip some switches today. Cam Jordan went ahead and restructured. Tyrann Mathieu went ahead and restructured. And word on the street is, I know a lot of people got excited, Cooper Kupp, Cowboys, oh my gosh, could this happen? It ain't happening. Cowboys.
Yeah, there was a round of that this morning. Adam Schefter.
Schefter put it out there. Diana Rossini, I think, and both very well respected.
Schefter scooped himself. He was like, this is something that's happening. The Cowboys and Cooper Kupp. Then it was like a couple hours later, he's like, yeah, that's
sorry,
not likely.
It's not. But the Saints apparently are very much in on Cooper Kupp. Seahawks are in. Saints are also in. And it's like, all right, where's this money coming from, New Orleans? But I guess that's where. You just go ahead and keep the restructures going with some of your older veterans, and you're able to open up some money. So we're awaiting the Cooper Kupp decision, but I don't believe the Cowboys are in.
And they shouldn't be if he's going to get the $15 million that was reported that his asking price.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We don't want the Cowboys to do that.
Our old buddy Simi Fehoko just got himself a new home. The Arizona Cardinals are signing Simi to a one-year deal. Congratulations to Simi Fehoko. Big, big friend of the Nosebleed Seats. We love you, and we're wishing you the best after a good couple of years there with the Chargers. I guess we're all kind of waiting and standing by on Aaron Rodgers. We opened up the show talking about the latest on him. Giants reportedly have outbid the Steelers, according to Scoop City and Diana Rossini. So Giants are offering more money. But does he look at the Steelers situation, say that one's better? And then the reports keep coming in now that he would like to play in Minnesota. And the latest that I saw as of about 10 minutes ago is the Vikings are getting ready to make him an offer.
Wasn't J.J. McCarthy pretty good in preseason until he got hurt? Yes. Like, isn't there evidence that this is a guy you want to go with? It's just shocking that Minnesota would be
bizarre to me. And if I'm J.J. McCarthy, really, I'm storming into that office and saying, you don't want me, trade me.
It's got to be part of, we're going to trade McCarthy for a pick in the top half of the first round. This is, you know, that maybe we think McCarthy can be good, but we got to win right now, team. Young quarterback coming off injury, inexperienced. We want to trade him for a first-round pick that can help us win now around Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Is Rodgers good enough that if they could give him the protection, the run game, the weapons, the defense, he could go out and win a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Not based on what I've seen for really an extended period of time now since he's been good.
Well, and then wasn't that the whole thing with the Jets? And I get it. Like, the Jets seem cursed, and anybody that puts on that uniform at quarterback just performs terribly. Unless, I guess, you're Joe Flacco. That guy seems like he just plays well wherever, at least for a week or two. But Rodgers had that. Like, their offensive line certainly probably not as good as Minnesota's, but the skill players were there. Garrett Wilson, they traded for his best buddy, Devontae Adams. They had a good runner in Breece Hall, and they've got a good defense.
Yeah.
Like, you were just in what was supposed to be a win-now position. Now, granted, you're going to a much better head coach and play caller in Kevin O'Connell. That's 100% fair. But I just, I'm not going ahead and tying myself to Aaron Rodgers. I think that's pretty foolish if you're Minnesota. And then if you trade J.J. McCarthy, then you've sold your future. Now, if you're able to get a first-round pick, maybe it's a future one. Maybe it's for next year. And it ends up working out to where you can go ahead and draft if Arch Manning comes out, or name the quarterback that could be a top pick for next year. Maybe it works out, but it's just bizarre. And if I'm another team and it's like, what's up with J.J. McCarthy? I'm not giving you a one. If he was so good, why aren't you rocking with him? You know, like there's
could the
just,
knee,
it's
could
just
the
a knee weird
be,
deal.
Could the knee be more
maybe
bad than it really is?
Maybe. And so, like, do rehab, I need to have good. Some fear long term with him now?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just,
it does seem odd.
The whole thing's bizarre to me with how they're handling J.J. McCarthy in this situation.
I'm guessing they're just like, they really feel like they are in the ultra win now. Like, they feel like they have the roster that's capable of doing it. And they just know, even if J.J. McCarthy is pretty good, year one, which is basically will be his rookie year off an injury, he's not taking you to a Super Bowl. And they, I guess, feel like we are in a Super Bowl
season.
Locked
and loaded,
and Rodgers is the only thing that we could convince ourselves of. It's still weird. I don't get it for the Vikings as much, but I totally get it if you're Aaron Rodgers. You want to wait around until they figure out whether or not they want you, because that's way better than Pittsburgh or certainly New York.
Yeah, because you get to play indoors. You're in a division that you're very familiar with, obviously, all those years in Green Bay, and you get to play against the Packers twice a year.
Yeah, yeah, and they're just,
there seems,
I mean,
something very,
just a better
that
team.
That seems like, to me,
seems odd.
That seems like what's driving him. I think playing against Green Bay.
You think it's the pettiness of that?
I do.
Well, I think he's petty as hell.
I'm sure that's a cherry on top to just,
really,
hey, the Vikings are clearly a better situation for me. If I want to go out sort of on top and at least look respectable, it's much easier to do with the Vikings right now than either one of those other two teams.
I just kind of feel like this is a very petty dude. And he's looking at this as an opportunity to.
I thought he like died to his ego and all that stuff.
Nah.
Out there while he puked out his ego. Isn't that what he did?
I think he
tooted out as well.
I think he re-ate it.
Oh, is that how they? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Right. I haven't.
That might be part of it. I don't know.
Did you puke?
After the puking and then the reconsumption factor.
You never know. It just comes back. It comes back. But yes, 817-903. This would be the same path that Favre went through. So, I'm rooting
for this.
What's next?
What's next? The crock shot or the fraud?
I think the fraud. I think the fraud would follow. And then you also have a dust up with Mark Gastineau. And in Rodgers' case, I don't know who that would be. But Gastineau's now suing. Did you see that? He's suing $25 million ESPN
for
basically like making him look like a bleep hole. Like,
well,
this has tarnished his reputation.
Well, he was.
Well, I think it's CTE talking.
Yeah, he was.
He didn't seem like he was quite all there.
He was in the wrong here.
He was about to start crying while he was talking to Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, it's emotional.
Or to Brett. I don't want to say the last name, just to Brett.
to Brett.
The Giants did host yesterday Joe Flacco, and they're expected to meet with Russell Wilson, possibly even today.
I heard Jeff Hostetler's on the way, too.
Yeah, maybe Phil Sims.
Yeah.
You know, Kerry Collins, can they bring
Craig
him back?
Craig Morton.
I mean, heck, maybe Jason Sehorn just decide, you know what, we'll take another run at you at quarterback.
Yeah.
Speaking of quarterbacks, the
Brandon
Browns.
Tarkington.
I like that. It's a good poll. Browns have informed Kenny Pickett that he's going to have a chance to compete for their starting quarterback role.
The Browns did?
I thought I was getting, you know, butt cracked on this one. It's true. Multiple sources have said, that this is happening. And Kenny Pickett says, I view myself as a starter.
Yeah.
And what else is he supposed to say? But it's just like, gosh, how...
I'm a damn good backup with a Super Bowl
this
ring.
This Deshaun Watson scenario, it's just gone so bad for Cleveland. They're now pivoting over to Kenny Pickett. Like, what the hell?
It's a sad existence, man.
All right, let's get to Shefty. Shefty's talking about who he thinks is going to go number one overall in the NFL draft. I think this is a foregone done deal. I think we know. I don't think there's going to be a lot of drama. And here's Schefter really just dotting the I's and crossing the T's on this one.
Zero chance that Cam Ward is going to make it to the Giants at three. Just not going to happen. So I expect that Cam Ward will be the number one pick in the draft, whether that's Tennessee or Cleveland or the New York Giants making that pick. And this is all part of the process, right? You begin to evaluate all these guys. Teams do deeper and deeper dives into them. From my perspective, I'm talking to more and more people before the combine, at the combine, after the combine. And I'm just telling you, like, the conversations I've had have convinced me that Cam Ward will be the number one pick and certainly the first quarterback off the board. And certainly, I think, the number one overall guy. Zero chance.
Yeah, Cam Ward's going to be the number one overall pick. I'm also pretty darn confident that assuming he's there, Mason Graham's going to go to Jacksonville. Their GM was talking today that they want defensive line help, and there is some buzz around the draft community that they do love Mason Graham.
Walter Nolan would be a good pick there.
I wouldn't mind that one. I would not mind that one at all. But I think that they do view Graham as the number one defensive tackle. Sure. And that's assuming he gets by New England.
Yeah.
Maybe New England takes him at four. Yeah. But I think that if he's at five, Jacksonville, if you're filling out your mocks at home, Mason Graham's a good pick there. And then number one overall, Cam Ward of the Titans.
Yeah, if you're a quarterback needy team, there's a lot of prospects where you're like, I can live with it if that guy turns into all world. Like watching him, I just don't see this, that. When you see Cam Ward and you're looking for the weaknesses and you're like, this isn't enough that if 5 years from now he's the best quarterback in the NFL, we would feel like complete idiots. You know, what's not to like with Cam Ward? He's got the it factor.
He does.
You don't pass on that.
And we've seen what a rookie quarterback can do to transform organizations in bad spots. I mean, what C.J. Stroud did a couple years ago, what Jaden Daniels just did last year. I mean, heck, plenty of rookies last year, like Bo Nix, what he was able to do in Denver. Drake May's got New England feeling really good about themselves right now. So this is one of those quarterbacks I do think could have an instant impact in Tennessee. Looks like Ian Rapoport, Tom Pelissero are just reporting the Bengals have made significant progress on massive contract extensions with Chase and T. Higgins.
Hmm.
Both could be finalized in the coming days. So we should watch out for that. I can't wait to see what Jamar Chase's number ends up being.
Man, it's so crazy to me that they're electing to pay T. Higgins instead of Trey Hendrickson.
It's bad team building. And I love T. Higgins, don't get me wrong. But two elite wide receivers.
Your number two wide receiver is more important than the
your best
sack
defensive
leader.
Player?
Yeah. Crazy.
It is nuts. It's definitely only caring about one side of the football. We got this update, New Heights podcast with the Kelce Bros, and they had
you
Jason,
mean the Overlaffers.
The Overlaffers, yes. The Overlaffers.
Wait, is this another
the
example?
Overlaffers. I don't think they quite laughed as much here. Yeah, maybe. All right. Let's hear it. All right, this is with Jason Sudeikis, big time announcement for you Ted Lasso fans. Did they overlaugh again?
As Ted Lasso fans, man, thank you, because that is gold.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Is there season four? Is it in the works?
Are we allowed
I don't
to
know
say
what
that?
I'm allowed to ask.
I think you can ask it, yeah.
That's what we're writing. We're writing season four now.
Yeah!
That's the official word, yeah. Ted's coaching, yeah, they're a women's team. So there. That's
happening.
That's
women's team.
Yeah.
Is he coming back to the States? Or?
Yeah, that's too many questions. But
yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
And it's only because I don't know.
Yeah, they did it. They did it again.
He doesn't know.
Leave it there. What did he say? Leave it there.
Everything's so funny.
It is. But I'm pumped. I mean, I thought season three was phenomenal. I thought it was a great bow to the whole series. The way that they did the finale was perfect. But I do like Ted Lasso in my life, and I'm not going to be opposed to a season four.
When season three ended, were you expecting a season four? Did it feel like they shut the book?
It was done. We were expecting it to be over and done with.
So they're doing a force open now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's got something to it. I think TVs, the networks, the producers are looking for content that the customers are going to want, right? That's why they keep doing the same superhero movies over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this, Wolchuk. I'm sorry to say. Ted Lasso lost me there about episode two or so of season three. Got too self-helpy.
You know,
season two is all about self-help.
Got too man person.
Maybe it lost me in season two. Maybe I never watched season three.
You might not have, because season two was not that good. I agree with you. And then it got back to its.
It's all about growing as a person. Yeah, I don't need that. I need, you know, American football coach coaching soccer, you know, and telling funny jokes.
Mm-hmm. This one, though, if he's coaching a women's soccer team.
Boy, am I impressive.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you back in? I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities.
I might be back in. I'll check it out. I got to figure out if I watched season three or not yet. You know, I was kind of into it.
If you haven't, you can just go to the season finale because it's fantastic. So just don't stress about it.
Thank you. We'll check.
I got you, bro.
What if they're going to reenact the Panamanian
man coming
up? The Panamanian female coach who fat shamed his player. I wonder if they're going to like have some sort of tie-in with that.
Oh, that would be something. Like he accidentally kisses one of his players.
Yeah.
All kinds of things could happen.
Smooches going on.
Thank you, Wolchuk. NFL News of the Day every afternoon at 3 o'clock. My top question for Cowboys fans following the Micah Tank Twitter dust up. That'll lead the C-note coming up next here in the nation. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. We have the C-note here for you every day at this time. Cowboys news of the evening and a recent Cowboys signing once again. Okay, they've done it again. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call Franklin Frankel 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Dante Fowler is back, as Wolchuk told you. It's 1 year, $6 million base, up to $8 million. What do you think? I know you lost Tank. I know Eric Kendricks is gone. You got the two new linebackers, the new corner. The three defensive linemen here, Brian, are they possibly better on paper than they were last year or about as good? How would you say the Cowboys have done now here with another defensive lineman?
Yeah, I'll give you the scouting report on Fowler at the 340, but I'll tell you what, I do like, you re-signed Osa, great. You got him for a good price, great. You're able to kind of, with the savings that you had on the contract, that you're able to get Solomon Thomas and then also get Turner in fold with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get three guys for really the price of one. I like that. The Fowler film is really, really good. And you know, you go through, you watch the sacks, you watch the way he's playing the run. I mean, there's a lot of
playing the run.
Yeah. And that's where I went to my next gen and I said, just give me all the run plays he's in. I'll talk about it here in a little bit, but man,
encouraging.
He looks like a different player in that regard. So, I like the Solomon Thomas signing a lot because I think it helps kind of playing behind with Osa. And then with Turner, he's a really good run defender. You know, that could be something better. He doesn't have the pass rush ability of Golston, but similar run defender. And now you got a legitimate pass rusher with Fowler being back in the mix. You know, you kind of helped yourself along the way.
With them going so hard on defensive line here in free agency, I feel like it's corner, wide receiver, running back in rounds 1, 2, 3. I don't know which order, but would you guys be as comfortable or confident saying that at this time?
I mean, one tech is still, you know, a big body run stuffer. Now, that oftentimes is a guy that you can find in, you know, the fourth or fifth round or whatever. So, and I think in this draft, maybe in particular, Wolchuk.
Yeah, there's definitely some names I could throw at you in round five that would fill that.
Okay, so then yeah, I'm on board with what you said.
What do you think, Wolchuk? Wide receiver, corner, running back in the first three rounds in any particular order?
Yeah, I think you're looking at corner and wide receiver is still definitely two big holes. I think if Genty were to be there, he'd certainly get consideration. Otherwise, they might let this thing ride at running back. That would not surprise me with how they filled this with Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams. I still think you need to take your starting running back in this draft. I'd love for them at 44 if there's a guy there at 76, but I still won't be surprised to see Walter Nolan's name, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, Mykael Williams, there from Georgia.
Yeah, the edge would make more sense now than maybe the three technique with Nolan.
But again,
right?
No, because these are 1 year deals, right? Like, it's not like your position spoken for the future at defensive tackle. They need help still moving forward past this year. So It just depends on how their board is. I think they really do love Walter Nolan. Yeah. Obviously, Tommy Arish told us Michael Williams.
I would say that to me, the one that makes more sense is if you want to play future ball with Michael Williamson, if that's what you're going to do.
As an end?
As an end,
yeah. All right, speaking of edges, let me ask you this. As Micah and Tank on Twitter is the number one Cowboy topic both locally and nationally today. Hey, I like Tank telling the truth about the team. I don't think he meant it to be shots fired at teammates, but we know that, you know, especially on the defensive side of the ball, this wasn't a kumbaya type of locker room. There were guys that didn't like each other, and that's fine. That's going to take place probably on all 32 teams. I like Micah defending the team. I like the position that he took, even though if it was not intended for him, go ahead, defend the team, be the leader. Don't have a problem with any of that. What I think is interesting moving forward is, you know, the question, is this a dynamic that walks out of the building with Tank leaving, or is this a sign that chemistry and morale inside the Cowboys locker room, especially on the defensive side, is a little toxic? Got to wonder.
Yeah, I mean, at least to some extent, at least it wasn't toxic enough to where everybody knew about it and it was loud and obvious and brash. So they did a nice job
Being pros.
Yeah, keeping it behind closed doors. Exactly, yeah, being pros about it, I would say. But I think this is also relatively common, especially when you're not finding or not even really getting to anywhere close to the ultimate success. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's going to be infighting when in the biggest games of the season, especially in the postseason, you're usually S-ing the bed.
Yeah, and we've really heard about the infighting and seen the signs of it post-Green Bay loss, and then you add to it the regular season last year. You know, but I think the angle would be Micah's the podcast guy. A bunch of former players are saying, I wouldn't want my teammates doing it. Tank used to be willing to play for less for the Cowboys. Now he's like, see you later. You know, I don't know. I think in the end, the most important thing is to have great players, and they still have enough of those if they can get all the other positions filled out and address depth.
You know, you talk about positions, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to swing it another way. I wish they'd add a wide receiver. I wish they'd find a way. If you want to play another one-year deal in Keenan Allen or somebody like that, a big body guy on the outside.
Well, that's what I was saying. With Cooper, how free agency Cooper, has gone, it just sets up that you got to take a wide receiver now.
Well, I mean, I would like to see them like sign a wide receiver. Like you're saying, like sign one of these Amari Cooper.
Like what we talked about yesterday. Yeah, like gave us the list of veterans. And I think Keenan Allen is the most appealing to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just add one of those guys, and then it gives you even more flexibility on your draft. If you want to draft a receiver, if you want to draft an end, you want to draft a defensive tackle, you can kind of do all those things. But I would like to see them. They're on a pretty decent run right now. Go ahead and try and see if you can find one of these wide receivers for about what you paid for with Dante Fowler.
Agreed. To circle back to this was a personality thing between two guys that just didn't get along from the beginning. And I do think that with Micah, Tank's not the only one that felt that way. So there's a massive leadership void. I'm hopeful that Micah has, last year it seemed like he did take a lot of strides in that area. You can talk a lot about it. I don't really believe people that talk about, I want to be the leader, it's my time, you're trying to speak it into existence. I think it just kind of naturally happens, and I don't know that he naturally has leadership skills. Solomon Thomas seems like the guy that they've just signed that is the guy that is a leader from the other stops that he's been to. But that's a massive problem on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah.
They don't have one of those guys right now.
And you can only lead and set the tone so much as a role player.
Right, and a guy that hasn't been here.
Yeah.
So like for Eric Kendricks, I'm sure that was an issue for him last year. Like Kendricks is one of those personalities, but are the guys going to follow me in my first year in the system here? Like I'm trying to prove to everybody, we're trying to get to know each other here.
Yeah.
They're not instantly going to be like, oh yeah, this is our guy, let's follow the leader here. So for Micah, I'd love to see it, but I don't know. I mean, I do think there's something too when we say there's conversations about should they pay this guy $40+ million. It's not just saying things to say things. Like we've known that Mike and Tank didn't get along for years now. We don't want to come out and say it in respect to the parties here. But Jerry loves Micah, so Micah's not going anywhere. But there are a lot of other people in that building that think he's a pain in the ass to deal with. And I think players agree with that.
I mean, great leadership is hard to find. I think you have one in your quarterback in Dak, but I mean, elsewhere on the team, where is there a good player who's been an all pro, who's got that personality? You know, CeeDee Lamb's not a leader. He's more of a lone wolf. Same with Diggs. You know, Osa's just, you know, not the kind of leadership guy that's going to command a room and rile guys up. So, you know, you kind of got to get lucky in that perfect leadership department. And right now, I think the Cowboys are still looking for one on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe this is the year that Micah takes big steps in that direction. Dez Bryant has a hilarious thread with fans on Twitter. He said the team was I was on. I said we sucked and we're not the 90s Cowboys. I looked Jerry right in his eyes and told him we won't ever win with Coach Garrett. So, you know.
So did I, Des.
Yeah. I mean, somebody said he wasn't that bad. He kept you competitive. Des said, I kept myself competitive. The man asked me tone it down a notch because I was practicing too hard. I can't make this bleep up. But he said, yeah, we had a first round bye and I wanted to be prepared that week. I told myself I wanted to be able to run all day. Garrett had the nerve to come over and tell me that I knew we were going to lose the following week. That must have been the Green Bay game.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off really slow. I'll never forget. People wonder why I used to get frustrated, and it's because of goofy bleep like that. Yeah, a lot of people frustrated. Jordan Lewis at some point, you know, now with the Jags, says it's been 10 years of that, man. I can't anymore. So a lot of interesting stuff going on here today on Cowboys Twitter. If you wanted to dive in, there's plenty of spicy content for you. I don't know if we spent enough time on Brandon Cooks talking about what Dak needs from the organization. You know, I think we had it yesterday. What people don't understand from a quarterback position, this is why they get paid the big bucks. So I don't feel for him, but at the same time, he needs help. And I'm not just saying help from players. You need help as an organization. You need help to put his teammates in places where they can receive the most help and be the healthiest they can possibly be. Just taking things off his plate when it comes to play calling and stuff like that. And so it's an umbrella of things that a quarterback needs for winning. What do you think all he's getting at here? That sounds awful general. Like, are the Cowboys doing anything right? After Brandon Cooks says something like that, seems like they're missing out on a lot of stuff. And this is a guy that's been in a lot of places with a lot of successful organizations.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a guy that sees the lack of talent that comes in, year out. And this is a guy who personally feels like he was probably misused in the offense. And so it's like, man, and Dak is perpetually talked about as a guy who does a lot at the line of scrimmage. And it's like it's a tip of the cap to him. And I don't know that it's too much on his plate or not necessarily comparatively. But I do think it's obvious to see that there's not a ton of talent that comes in here. And guys like Brandon Cooks come in here and then don't always get used appropriately.
Yeah, he's right. It's a top-heavy roster. There's been no time that we've looked at and been like, except for maybe 2010 after they had an awesome 2009 season, and they went ahead and signed what seemed like every single big name on the street, whether it was Adam Pac-Man Jones, whether it was, you know, Tank Johnson, the old Bears defensive tackle they brought in, Zach Thomas, right? They did. They tried to make some moves to go ahead in 2010, dream team, style it up. Ever since then, the trades that they made for Gilmore and Cooks were the only time I could point to and be like, all right, they're now adding some legit dudes that can come in and make an impact. Everybody they've signed this cycle, it's like, let's hope, let's cross our fingers. We saw talent, former first-round picks. Let's hope that they work here when they didn't work anywhere else. So I love it. I love that players are out here finally putting pressure on a front office that while they're trying, and like I said yesterday, I'm going to give them credit, I'm going to be fair. They've made some trades, they've actually signed more guys than they have in recent years. Thank you for doing that, mm-hmm. But it doesn't seem like anybody that they've really brought in is tilting the needle that now you're now over Philly. You're even over Washington, maybe even Detroit, the Rams, some of the other real contenders in your conference.
I think you have to look at it as, and you're right, is it made you better?
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's made you deeper. I think the depth is better.
Yeah, it's made you where you're not now like just completely relying on the draft. You know, I mean, I they're still going to get the opportunity to do that. They're still going to use college free agency to their advantage. But, man, if they would have gone through another cycle and just let all these guys and let Lewis and all these guys walk and just not do anything, then you really should be in despair. But, yeah, is this – needle moving moves? No, but it's at least replacing players that are the same or maybe better than what you lost. So
in a couple of spots.
In a couple of spots, yeah. That's kind of where that part of it's encouraging. I don't think they got better at running back.
No, I think
they've got better on the defensive line.
They have.
Sure.
I think
they got worse in the secondary.
And they added a couple of linebackers that maybe these are guys that
Fowler
can give you production.
Gives you more pass rush than Tank.
If you
want to think about it, for one's getting $14 million, the other's getting 8 or 6.
But I love what Cooks is saying. You need to give this guy more help. And hopefully you got that from the coaching staff, but you need it from a roster sake. And I think a guy like Tank saying what he said, or Cooks saying what he said on his way out the door, if I'm the front office, I'm thinking our guys down there in that locker room know we're not competitive right now. And that is a potential dumpster fire for morale. If we get to training camp and these guys who have spent their entire careers believing in themselves and the team, you could be coming off a bad season. I've seen these Cowboys come off bad seasons and still believe. There's not a lot of belief going on right there.
Yeah.
And I think that can be a real difficult thing to overcome, especially for a first-time head coach.
There might be some people, some players in that building glad to see Mike McCarthy go. And maybe Mike Solari and some other guys. You know, maybe that's going to be, okay, listen, hey, maybe, you know, the players are never going to blame themselves. They'll blame coaches all day, you know. But maybe they're looking at this as like, okay, maybe a breath of fresh air coming through the door.
Well, my man, speaking of fresh air, it's time for Krusty's Corner here on a Friday. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I got a couple of scouting reports for you for the guys that they've just signed. We'll do those next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here at 3:45 on a Friday afternoon. It's time for Krusty's Corner. This could be Dusty's Corner, though. Check this out as West Texas dust has arrived once again. I don't think the winds are 80 miles an hour like they were in the panhandle, knocking over 18-wheelers today, Brian. Pretty crazy video out there, but it's a wild scene here downtown.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. And we had this happen, few days ago, right?
Yeah.
Didn't we have the same situation with the dustiness and all that?
Yeah, from Lubbock. The Raider rash was in there.
Raider rash.
It's a great time to be indoors and enjoy your AC thanks to Reliant Air Conditioning, yes. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Hey, you said Dusty?
Yep.
You know, just for a word for the wise, you never want to get in a scrap with a dude named Dusty.
Oh, it's not going to go well, yeah, is Deucey, it?
Dusty's don't die, bro.
Dusty's always got time.
Dusty's, bro.
They just don't die. So the old saying is you got to kill them to stop them.
You got
to
stop for Dusty, man.
Yeah. Dusty's usually get 240 pounds solid.
Scrappy.
Yeah.
Scrappy. Hey, Lucius, congratulations to your guy, to your Memphis. Can I give you Memphis the Tigers?
Penny.
Did he get the victory today?
He sure did.
On his way to the championship
game.
He's like
coach of the year and everything.
Yeah. But I tell you what, man, I think is Memphis is one of those programs that kind of plays on the edge, right? A little bit.
They might get a house for your mama, something like that, near campus.
You kind of appreciate as a fan of Memphis, you're kind of digging what your coaches are trying to do there, right?
Yeah, Penny watched it. He was in that movie Blue Chips, and he was so that's how they do it.
Yeah, so he's got the Nick Nolte character.
Yeah,
he's buying tractors.
Figuring
it out for everybody. All right. Yeah, but man, this basketball stuff's really good, though, by the way. And we're next week, right? We're out.
Yep.
We are Colby's Burgers.
Yeah. Yep.
Here we come, Ulyss.
Right. Yeah,
let's do it again.
Looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Try not to get my cast so drunk this time.
That was unbelievable.
You know that, by the way, we have an event after that, right?
We do. We'll see if we make that one.
Yeah. Well, we have our Sandlot charity dinner, dude.
We
have to make that
Rachel
one.
Rachel Ring is a massive tolo. She gets it.
But she paid for dinner for all of us.
She paid to eat with you, Brian.
Wait, is this the same thing?
Same day, Lucius.
Oh.
Yeah, we double-dipped on the sked.
Okay.
We scheduled, and then we got scheduled.
Cold beers, cheeseburgers, and barbecue.
We're going to be waxed at that dinner, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You're going to get your money's worth.
Thank you so much. You're the best, Tolo.
You're the best.
I'm going to try this brisket.
This beef rib is amazing.
Oh, wow.
Eat off of her plate.
All right. Cowboys did make a couple of signings. By the way, can I ask you guys this question? With the two running back signings, there's a possibility that one of those guys might not be here, right? We're not committed to these guys,
are we? Much like Royce Freeman last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not really committed to either one of these cats, right?
No. And I would probably lean Miles Sanders maybe being the one that doesn't make it.
Agreed. I mean, at least you know Javonte Williams has a skill set that is usable.
Blocker,
pass catcher. Okay, yeah. We can do something with that.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders, there's nothing
there's not really an attribute to his game that's really special at all.
Yeah, these free agent signings, I know we've had this discussion. It's not keeping me from drafting anybody.
Your starting running back's in this draft.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, man, I feel really great about what I'm doing here right now.
I mean, if I close my eyes and imagine the Cowboys being really good next year, it's got to be with an absolute stud runner. And right now they have Jobber, two times. Yeah. And it's a tragedy they let Rico go. You had something solid that wasn't going to break the bank. Give it some time. Bring this guy back. Now at least we know we're solid. These guys might be terrible next year. So I think it's possible they don't draft anybody, Brian. And, you know, we're looking at like Joe Randall and Darren McFadden, but maybe a little worse.
We need a factor back, don't we?
We do. Dawson. That's right.
Factor back.
And a thick necktie.
Yeah, both of those go hand in hand. I'm scatabooing to the day I die. Unless, of course, in year three, he's just a flame out. Then I'll bail. Die on the hill. I'll just be embarrassed.
You want to die on that hill?
I'm a scatabooism.
Would you die on the scatabo hill?
No. There's better backs. I mean, I like him. He's solid.
No, obviously, I'm not saying like you take him in the first or second round or anything like that, but I think where you can get him value-wise, sign me up all day.
Can I ask you, Zach, what's the last back on your list that you would feel good about drafting? The last one.
The last one?
About that. It's capable of being the leading rusher in year one because that void is still glaring.
Might be Taj Brooks out of Tech.
I'll tell you what. I watched ATN from Georgia.
Oh, the Georgia kid, yeah.
I mean, I think I could carry this thing to the late. I think I could carry it to the late fourth, maybe even the fifth.
The problem is, like, I've thought Brooks would go in the fifth, but he ran a really good time.
He's going to go a lot earlier than that.
He might go as high as the third.
Have you seen? You haven't seen Krosky Merritt, the hyphenated name?
Krosky?
Krosky Merritt.
The Arizona kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New Mexico.
Problem is, we just didn't get to see him play at all last year.
Did you watch the Mexico team?
But he looked good. Yeah, and I saw him at the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Bowl before days of practice, and he looked good. I mean, he moved better than anybody, and that might just be because he had fresh legs.
Yeah, but I wonder why that might be my last guy.
That could be.
That might be my last guy.
See, but all these teams are going to have him like ordered, like Kyle Manungai out of Rutgers, Damian Martinez out of Miami. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like some of these guys might have him higher, lower, like Jordan James out of Oregon. Is he going to last till round five? Is he going to go in the third round? Like, Scatabo could go in the third.
I have him in the third myself.
You might have to take him at 76.
That's just a damn football player.
I wouldn't love that.
I mean, let's just be real about it.
You know, he's a football player. You know, you're right about that. I wonder what they're going to do with James. Smith from SMU. Do you think he's Bernard more of a receiver? Smith. Do you think he's more of a receiver than he is a real running back? I mean, receiver, running back guy?
I think that he's got running back. He can run the ball. Like I've seen him go between the tackles, and he can make some guys miss.
I'd like to have him too,
and I think they like him. I think they're a fan of his. I mean, you got the Kansas guys, like Giddens from Kansas State, who I'm a big fan of, Devin Neal. But all those, like, again, like, I'm looking at the third round. Like, I don't think those guys are going to last till the fifth.
Yeah.
Like, I think at pick 76, you've got to probably have taken your dude. Or else you're risking, like, last year, maybe getting wiped by this thing. Like, they might all get gobbled up in the fourth.
I don't think they're going to get wiped out. I will say this, though. I am not very high on Miles Sanders. I don't think Miles Sanders is very elusive. I don't think he has any speed to get to the outside. He had three runs of 10-plus yards last year.
Probably same number as Zeke.
That was it. Yeah, pretty much. He doesn't really have the speed for the outside. He's very straight line. He played in that system in Carolina where he's much better if he could play in the pistol where he can line up behind the quarterback and they can hand him the ball going downhill.
I don't know if Shoddy's doing pistol.
But if he plays sidecar, if he plays that next to the quarterback and hand him the ball and have to start again type of running back, this guy is not going to be that good for you that way. So I don't think he has the quickness to play that way, and so that's why I was asking. I'm not married to any of these guys right now at running back. I think your running backs, like I said, I would have double dipped at running back in the draft is what I would have done. You know, I think it's deep enough that you could have done that.
Absolutely.
Okay, Dante Fowler on the other end. Let me tell you this about Dante Fowler. And Chief, you're asking about his ability to play the run, and I was like, okay, I'm curious now, but he did a much better job of taking on blockers. And when not only the tight ends, but also tackles or also people coming out trying to get him on the edge. He did a much better job of playing with his hands and getting off blocks. There were a couple of games, too, where he really did a good job of chasing down from the backside. where they left him unblocked, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you see him running through the trash to get to, you know, get to the front side over there to make a tackle.
He's got that type of quickness for
he
sure.
He does. He does. And, you know, he can extend. He looked like he was playing off blocks, like I said. He's chasing the football. The quickness is still there. He's really good in the twist game still. Dan Quinn was moving around. You watch his sacks that he had. There were a couple that were off the edge where he was just winning against the tackle, and then there's the others where they were moving him around, and then he was inside, and the quarterback's trying to kind of escape, and he's able to close and avoid the blocker and then make the play. So there were a couple times, too, where he was rushing, and he was able to rock these tackles back with a little bit of some power to his game. So I think he has the tools to kind of stay after you that way in the running game. It was nice to see him play well on the move, and I think you got a legitimate sacker here when you're looking at your defensive line, when you compare him or pair him with Micah on the outside. And, you know, this guy's going to give you more sacks than probably what Tank was going to give you.
For sure.
And the run game stuff has improved from what we've seen from him the last few years. But a much better job, kind of a more complete player than just a guy that's just going to be a bendy edge rusher. This guy's got some complete football to his game now, watching this Commanders tape here.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.